I'm all in on Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the next Bitcoin. We want freedom. Even when people tell you, no, I don't care about money like that. No, you care. Because if somebody controls the money, they control you. This gives you, for the first time in forever, the chance to fight a government, the chance to stand up for yourself.
Can I pay with Bitcoin here?
Fiat is not for the middle lower class. It's only for the upper class.
Why did you start like with Bitcoin in the first place? Like you mentioned that why did you start it?
Well, it was funny because I actually started on a journey of self-improvement. Like I started meditating and I started, you know, being with myself and seeing what I really wanted, because it came to a point where I wasn't really as happy as I thought I would be making it to the pros, like playing pro basketball. I'm like, you know, it's like something was missing. Like, I was like, okay, I made it here. Maybe it's because I want to go higher and play at a higher level. You know, maybe it was that. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm getting paid to play basketball. Like, why am I not just fully happy all the time? And so I started on that self-improvement journey and meditation and being with myself, my thoughts, controlling emotions. And at one point, I was like, okay, so what I want in my life, okay, my relationship with money. So I started going into how was my relationship with money. Like, I was always spending the money that I was getting. So I was getting paid to spend it. Like, to me, money was just like a means for an action. Like, if I'm going to go to the movies, I don't care about the money. I don't care about the $20. I care about the time in the movie theater with my girlfriend watching a movie, right? So any money that I would get, I would spend. And then I was like, well, I'm visualizing my life and the life that I want. And I'm like, okay, I want to have money because I need money to do good things in the world. Like, if I want to help people or like create like a good life for my close relatives, my friends, my family, if I want to help, I got to have it. I got to have something to help with. And so I'm like, okay, I got to be better with money. I got to have money now. I got to start saving. I got to start doing this and that. And so it was funny because like one meditation, I really focused on that. I'm like, okay, I want to have money, this, this and that. And then right after, it's like, it came to my brain. I was like, Bitcoin. Because I have a really good friend that worked in a Spanish exchange called Bit2Me. His name is Jaime Villarín. He introduced me to Bitcoin like years before, but I never listened to him. I never care. I'm like, there's no way that's going to work. You know, the government are going to, they're not going to let it happen. It's this and that. And so I remember that. I remember all those times of him telling me about Bitcoin. And I was like, Bitcoin, I got to call Jaime and ask him about it. And I called him. We set a meeting. I came with a pen and paper and he explained me everything. And by the time he was done, my eyes were like this. I was like, there's no way all this that you're telling me, there's no way. He sent me all the information, and then I started doing research, and it was research and research and research. That was it. That was the orange pill.
And it's fascinating to see when people get orange pilled that along the way they don't believe it. Like they don't believe that it is like it is, it's a hard thing to overcome. What's also interesting for me is the injuries that you mentioned, that you had four injuries, because for someone that makes sports, like the recovery is really, really important. Like if you can come back 2-3 weeks earlier than you thought you came, that it's like a really interesting part, a really important part. And also injuries can kind of cut you off, right? If something happens with your leg that you cannot recover from, or like it takes a long while, or the risk is really high that something dramatic happens, this can end the career like really quickly. What's your thoughts with injuries? Like those four recoveries, were those bad injuries or was it just like a week or something like that? What did this do to you?
So my last year, I studied university in the United States. So my last year, the year before my last year, I broke a finger in my hand. And that was like the only big injury I had had in my whole life, like until that point. And so after that, I finished college. So I had one more year. I finished good. And when I came back, my first year, like my rookie year, 15 games in, I was playing really good. And I landed on my leg and messed up my meniscus. It's like the cartilage in the meniscus got a little broke. It broke a little bit. And so they told me, they were like, you could get surgery or you could wait, strengthen, don't do anything for 2 months and come back. And so I did that. I didn't get surgery. I waited. I was in the lifting, all that, came back. And 5 games later, so my knee was messed up. Like, it was getting swollen. Like, I would play, but hurting, like, bad. And 1 game, I broke my elbow. Like, I fell on the floor and I broke my elbow. So that was kind of like the universe telling me, like, you got to stop or you're going to break your leg. Because my knee was really, like, bad. And I was playing through it. Like, I was just playing through it. And in 1 game, I broke my elbow. I landed. I jumped for a block shot. I landed on it, and my elbow went forward, and I broke a little piece of it. It's not like I dislocated the whole thing, but I broke a little piece. So I got to be, like, 3-4 months with the cast and with the knee recovery. So that was my first double injury, right? And after the hand. And then the year after that, I signed again. I do the recovery, the whole summer, recovering from like January to the summer, come back. And that was COVID year. So I was playing through the pain on my elbow because like I had some recovery time, but it was still hurting so bad. And it was my shooting elbow. So like I got to do this every day, all the time. So it was hurting really bad. So I was happy that COVID hit because I was hurting bad. But at least I didn't get injured at that point. And so COVID comes. I'm off the whole year. And this was the fourth injury. Like the year after COVID, I start again, do a really like intense summer preparation for the season. And I'm playing really well. The things are going good. And then my knee, the same knee that I didn't get surgery in, I end up like messing the whole thing up. The meniscus, the cartilage is all the way broke. So I have to get surgery. And that was the surgery that like after those 3-4 years and I came back and the meniscus is bad. Like it's not as bad as a ligament, but like the post surgery is really annoying because you can't put your foot on the floor for like a month. And you have to be on the couch for a month. Mind you, I work out every day, like at least once. Every day I play sports. Like there's not one day where I'm like, don't get me wrong, one day. But like I play sports almost every day. So like being for a month not moving was really messing with me. I'm like really stressing out. And so that was the setting point. And then after that, I had my last surgery the year after. On my nose, because I broke my nose when I was a kid, and I could never breathe through my nose until that year, my whole life. Like there was no air passing through my nose because my nose was like sideways. So I got that last surgery, I think it was 2 summers ago, and I haven't had anything since. So I'm doing a lot because I never stretched before. I never took care of my body. I never ate healthy. I never, you know, I was always drinking soda. Before self-improvement, I was like, okay, I play so much sports that it balances the rest of the things. You know, I can eat okay. I can drink soda. I can go to sleep late every night. I can play video games. So I had to, you know, get right with my life because I'm really disciplined. Like in general, I have good discipline, but before I only had it for basketball. So it was like, well, I checked basketball. I played basketball today. I'm good. I can do whatever I want. Now it's more like everything else. Like there's one quote that got stuck like with me. And it was like, how was it? Don't tell me I forgot. You're only as good. I forgot, man. I remember. It'll come back.
it will come back, and if not, you can tell me later. Then we can drop it in the comments or something like that. it's fascinating to hear your story, and I didn't even want to interrupt you because this was really really cool to see that you still are doing it. Like you had a lot of things coming your way, and you're still keeping doing it. I usually try to get from a guest like the pin post, like the Twitter stuff like that, and I think you're one of the rare guest that does not has as a pin post something with Bitcoin related. So like nothing with Bitcoin. I think
like the first tweet that I pin on the
feed. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like it's something really beautiful. I have it here. Be kind to others, but most importantly, be kind to yourself. Good morning. Which is really, really cool. Relates this to those stuff like that you are like still keeping going? Is there like some deeper story to that?
Yeah, definitely. The whole it's complicated because I started meditating because it was it would help me with my sport. Like I play better, I perform better if I meditate. I'm more focused. Like meditation is just a training of the attention. You're training your attention, right? And so I got started by this guy that was friends with my dad, and he gave me a couple books to read, and he told me some, you know, tips. But I never listened to him before I got injured. I was like, meditating is not for me. I can't do this I can't just stand there for 5 minutes. Like, I understand when people tell me that, like, that's not for me. That was me too. That's not for me. That's what I said, right? But once I started practicing it, just like Bitcoin, it's like, well, I don't understand Bitcoin. It's like, have you actually like put in the effort? Like, have you actually tried with discipline for a period of time? Because you're lying if you're telling me you have. Because I'm not the smartest in the room, definitely by far. And if I can understand it, I promise you, you just have to do it. And so it's the same with meditation. It's the same thing. And I started doing it more and more. And the way it takes you deeper. It's like the same rabbit hole, kind of, because like meditation, the translation to our language is one, but the one that the people that discover it, like the yogi culture, the ancient civilization type information that I've researched and that I've seen, it's like way deeper. Meditation means a lot of things. It's not just focus on your breath or doing breath work or not thinking anything. It is that too, but it's more than that. But to keep it simple, it's just focusing on one thing, because when you focus on one thing, you leave everything out, right? And so you can only think of that one thing. And it's hard because more things are going to come. And that's the discipline. That's the commitment. Like, no, I see you there, but I'm focusing on this. I see you there, but... And that's doing it over and over. And the more you see that and the more you read about it with many, you know, I read a lot of yogis. That's like my favorite culture out of all the ones that I've researched. And the Hindu yogi, it's just the way they speak. It's like my tweet was probably something that I was reading at that moment. I just saw it and I wrote it down. And it's like the more you study and think and see what they thought and how they acted in life and the human being and respect for others. And, you know, at the end of the day, I play a sport, right? And I go out there and I compete with other people. And that was my mentality back then. It's like, I'm competing against him. Like I have to be better than him and kill him and be better. Cause if not, I'm not getting paid. If I'm not better than my teammate right here, I'm not getting in the game. That's how I thought before. But like, if you take from what you learn here and take it to sports, it's like you don't have to compete against him, you have to compete against you. You have to be better than you. Technically, it's not better, he's him. You can't be better than him. You're different than him. So it's like you can't compare a shark with a tiger. Like, it's not the same category. You're not him. So you can do different things. You just got to worry about you. And that's why I say be kind to others, but you got to be kind to you, because you're the only one that can really control yourself. You can't control anybody else. You're not living other people's lives. You're in your movie. So yeah, that's probably where the tweet came from.
Really cool. It's for me fascinating also how many people are obsessed with other people's life. And with that, I don't mean that they are empathetic to them and trying to help them. That's a good thing. I'm saying they are so obsessed with other people's life that they like interfere with them, like, or in comparing to them. Like, this is like focus on yourself and with the focus on yourself, get resources so you can help others.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different thing, but that's it's really beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I completely agree. It's like, you don't try to change. And this is another quote. Don't try to change the world. Like, change you, and then that's going to change the world. Because for you changing you, another person is going to see it. And it's all energy. They're going to feel your energy of you being changed, and that's going to change them. And it is all energy.
I love it. It's I think my first podcast where we did not read and did not speak about Bitcoin the first 20 minutes, kind of. But it's still related to Bitcoin, I feel like. I feel one of my first questions that I would have had if we did not have this crazy conversation even in the beginning, it would be like, what did you learn from basketball for Bitcoin? And I think we already touched on some things. We're focusing on the one thing, canceling out the noise. The noise could be the altcoins and the stuff like that. Like, what else did you learn from basketball that is connected to Bitcoin? And maybe
basketball. The thing that I have in my mind, and it's probably because I just listened to the Jack Myers like yesterday, the intro to Bitcoin speech for Atlantis Bitcoin or something like that, and the main thing that compares basketball to Bitcoin, I think, is basketball is proof of work. Like, you have to do the work. Like, there's no way you're coming out in the game and playing good if you haven't practiced, if you haven't worked. Like, it's like Bitcoin. It's the hard money. This is like, that's how I see it. Also, like, Bitcoin, I see the discipline in Bitcoin. It's like, you're not learning it if you don't put the hours. Like, you have to do it. You have to study. This is a new thing. It's difficult. Like, you have to study it. You have to see it. You have to know how it works. You have to see why it's good. Like, why is it better money than fiat money? Like, you have to know the economy. You have to know where money comes from. You have to know the gold standard and Nixon and all these things that changed money, that made money corrupt. Like, you have to put the work in. I feel like basketball is the same way. It's like, you have to work in front of nobody to shine in front of people. Like, you have to put in the work.
Yeah, the greatest people on earth put a lot of work alone in a room in something, no matter if it's like developing a website, if it's training for sports, if it's like developing speech, like whatever it is, to like shine for like a few moments. And everybody's like, wow, it looks so easy. Wow, how does he do it? Yeah, of course, genetics. How does he do it? Like, this is hours and thousands of hours of training, and it's fascinating. And also with the Bitcoin, I try to not speak with Bitcoiners. I try to not speak with people that did not put like an hourly rate, like a nice hours in Bitcoin in there.
Right.
If they did not put like at least like 10 hours in Bitcoin in there, it's almost not worth it to speak with them. I try to do it still if they are actually curious about it and actually try to educate themselves. But the better thing that I try to do is just direct them to some resources, because they have to do so much catch up. It would be like for me sitting down with them for 10 hours to just explain the basics. Yeah.
I don't know. Exactly. I'm 100%. I agree on that. And
we also have to talk about nutrition, which is also really interesting debates in Bitcoin going on. And I had guests on that were vegan. I had guests on that only ate meat, in the Bitcoin. I think that in the Bitcoin community, it's the only community where a raw vegan can sit next to How is it called, the person that only eats meat? I forgot it.
I don't know, but I agree. It's just that Bitcoiners are so... We want freedom. We want freedom. So, like, we're so... As long as they don't touch our freedom, it's like we're cool with everything, I feel like.
Yeah.
So you can do you, I can do me.
What are you doing for nutrition? Like you said, like you're trying to do the nutrition quota recovery.
This is a difficult one. I've done some research because also my girlfriend has some micro I don't know how to say in English, but the gut problem. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to check that too. And all right, I believe each person is different, first of all. So like something might be good for some people and something might be good for other people. Like we have to take that into consideration. Also, depending of where you're from, we have different, like we're supposed to eat the food that is within where we're from, right? With this being said, I believe you should eat a diet with a rich intake in protein, which doesn't mean it has to be animal or plant protein. Like it could be both. Like I believe, at least I like to put both. I like to mix it up. As long as I'm taking a good protein intake, I like meat. I like vegetable. I like vegetable protein. So I mix it up, and then good amount of fats too. Like but of course, the main thing is to eat real food, organic food. Like that's the first thing. And then after that, you can pick and choose. But I believe, like, I love to eat a lot of fruits, vegetables, meat, fish, and, you know, avocados. Like, I don't eat that many carbs. They're not for me just because I got to be lean, explosive, like my sport. I got to be, you know, I can't be heavy. I feel like for me personally, when I eat a lot of carbs, I get heavy. So I'd rather be lean and explosive, athletic, fast. I'm not the tallest, and I play a sport where a lot of people are very tall. So I have to be super, at least as fast as I can be. And I don't know. I don't know if that answered the question of what I eat. I feel like I'm still learning about it, so I can't really talk like an expert. That's just really my view and my perception. You know, I would, depending on what your needs are, what are you trying to get? Like, what body do you want? That it depends, right?
So yeah, definitely. And I think this is a thing that if you do the basics right, you're doing really good. Like, don't eat processed food, at least not too much. Try to eat raw things. Like, don't eat like the vegan meat from the supermarket.
The best ingredients. Yeah, the least ingredients that could be in food, the better. Like, it's got to be real food. And then, of course, number one thing in food is do not eat sugar, like processed sugar, like fake sugar. Because I got people telling me that, you know, you can't eat too much fruit because it has a lot of sugar. Like, I don't believe in that, for example. Like, I don't believe sugar in fruit is bad. You cannot tell me otherwise. Like, you can't tell me eating 3 bananas is unhealthy. Like, I don't want to hear that. And you're having sugar with your coffee. Like, that's the sugar that's bad, not the bananas. So, like, do not eat sugar, bad sugar. And other than that, like you said, don't eat processed food. Try to eat as much real food as you can. But number one main thing is drink a lot of water. Like, water is so important. I was not drinking enough water before all this change in my life happened. Water is so important. Like, you have to drink a lot of water. And the other number one thing that's super important and it's not talked about, and it's related to health, it's not food, but you have to do breath work. It's so important too. It's like, we don't understand, like, breathing is life. Like, that's the, when you breathe, you're alive. If you're not breathing, you're not alive. So like, and it's the first thing you do when you are born and the last one you do before you die. It's like the most important thing to breathe correctly. And I have a really good book. I can tell you later and you can put it on the description or whatever. There's a book on YouTube that you can just type it on YouTube and they explain the breathing techniques and how you should be breathing and a lot of techniques for different situations, like for stress, anxiety, all these things. You can regulate anything in the body with the breath. That's why name any sport. You're about to do something in your sport, and then you go. Breathing is so important and people forget about it. And it's literally, in my opinion, more important than the food and anything else.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also, for me, extremely important because when I speak a lot, I speak as I have a podcast every day, and sometimes I'm invited to other podcasts, and then I have also spaces on Twitter. Then also, of course, like I have more things. So speaking is so important for me. And when you speak, you kind of sometimes forget about that you have to take a break, that you have to breathe yourself also. And then you're like, so breathing is so important no matter what you do. But especially with sports or when you speak a lot or something like that, then it gets even more important than that. When we get now to Bitcoin and money a little bit more, what did change when you have adopted Bitcoin in your money habits? Like you said before that you spend it a lot, like you got money, you spent money. Did actually Bitcoin change that, or just like the awareness that you have to take care of your Bitcoin, or did take care of your money?
Bitcoin, I mean, now I do the same thing, but instead of spending in dumb stuff, I put it on Bitcoin. I have all my money in Bitcoin. So like when I get paid, I save a little bit of fiat for like, let's say right now I'm saving a little bit for the summer to spend throughout the summer. But like the rest of my money, as soon as I understood this thing, Bitcoin, everything Bitcoin. I don't want to have anything in the bank. I'm really not, because like when I thought about it, I was like, okay, I'm definitely not having cash in the bank, because I've understood this after podcast, like, do not put your money in the bank. It's losing value, inflation, anything could happen, you know, you're not your money's owner, fees. So I was like, okay, not in the bank. And then I was like, so should I buy a house? First of all, I don't have enough money for a house. I've been playing pro for 4 years. I've been injured half of my years. That takes money to do the, you know, rehab. Like I'm not getting paid. So I got to, you know, so I didn't have money to buy a house to start with. And then second of all, I was like, I don't really need a house because I play basketball and I'm moving around the world. Right now I live in Iceland, but I want to move and play in all the countries that I can. So, and they give me a house when I go. So I don't really need a house. So it'd be an investment. And I was like, well, it sounds like a lot of problems, and Bitcoin sounds like no problems. Bitcoin sounds like I'll just leave it there, save my keys, and this is going up forever. So if I'm not going to use this in the short, even medium term, even if I got to take some out, it's going to be more than what I had anyways. So I would just put everything there. And that's how it changed for me. It's just the way I see money and I understand money. It's like, okay, I'm going to use this fiat for my day to day because I live in a society which is ruled by this way of doing things. And for now, I don't want to leave this society. I might go off the grid at some point. I don't know. But right now, I don't want to. And so I have to do this. And so I'm going to try to take advantage now that I understand it and do things right. But the money that I'm not going to use and that I'm accumulating and that I'm using for, okay, maybe I want to buy a house in the future or just for my retirement when I finish playing sports. And when I play when I talk to my, you know, my teammates and people that play sports that I know, it's like I ask them these questions now because I know they're not thinking about this because I wasn't. So I'm like, where are you saving your money for the future? What are you going to do when you retire? What are you going to spend the money that you saved in? How much money you think you're going to have from the money you save? Because this always gets them. That's why I start orange peeling people. I'm like, okay, so let's say you save 100,000 and you play 10 more years. How much money you think you're going to keep from that? Inflation 10% a year at least. So like, you're losing $30,000. I'm not doing the math exactly, but you're losing a lot of money like doing this. And that's how my relationship changed. It's like with money, it's like everything changed. Cause I'm like, this and what got me really, like what really got me in is when I saw it as the energy that it is. Cause I'm going to work, I'm going to practice, I'm going to get treatment, and I'm going to do all these things with my body that is hard, is discipline. And you, like you said, you see the athlete, you see Usain Bolt winning the race, but you don't see the hard work day after day after day. It's hard. I'm not saying it's not for me, it's fun. I like playing basketball, but it's still hard. Just like if you work in the podcast industry and doing podcasts, it's still hard. Like, even if you like it, it's still a job. You're putting time and energy and you're waking up early and you're doing all these things. And that's when it clicked, when I'm, okay, this is all these hours. This is my value that I gave to society, and society gave me back because people come to watch my games and have fun on a Friday night. So I gave value to society with all this hard work. It got me to this platform. Now I can perform. People get value and I get value in return, which is my paycheck all my paychecks. And I'm thinking, I'm like, all these hours, they are just like stealing them. Like they are just the central banks and the Fed are just literally stealing those hours. They're like, no, you didn't do that. That wasn't there. And when I understood that, I was like, that's really evil. Like, I could not see myself saving money in a system that operates that way. And so I was like, I would have money to use it in the day-to-day, and I have money now because I don't want to every day pay with, I don't want to spend my Bitcoin, so I keep some money to use. But I'm all in on Bitcoin. Like, I don't see, like, Bitcoin is the next Bitcoin.
It's so interesting what you just mentioned with the Fed, because I immediately thought of the person that trusts the government and central bank the most. They probably have a lot of fiat laying around and not a lot of investments. Maybe even only fiat, maybe even only euros, dollars, whatever. Right. And they trust the government. They trust central banks. And they don't even notice that their trust is being misused. Their trust is just, not giving back, because the central banks, as you said, they're stealing from them purchasing power every year. And then Joe Biden comes out and blames it on the big corporations. And this goes with not only Joe Biden, it's like all the politicians kinda. They don't blame it on money printing because they need the money printer. And that's what makes me even a little bit angry sometimes when I see people that are struggling with finances. They are trusting the governments to take care of them. And then they have the money in the bank and they just see it devaluing every day. And they're not thinking of Bitcoin. And then they're thinking like, oh, Bitcoin is just for rich people. And it makes me a little bit sad, but that's why I'm also doing the podcast. That's why what I'm trying to do with Orange Bidding. And what I said before, which is interesting, I usually have pretty clever people around me in my day-to-day life, and they usually get Bitcoin. So even if they don't get Bitcoin, they have other investments and they're doing good work, and they're not struggling. Like I have a really pretty good environment. But whenever I meet someone that's actually struggling, I try way harder to orange pill them than I usually do. Right. Usually I'm like, there's this Bitcoin thing. If you want to learn about it, come to me. But if I really see someone that's struggling and that could benefit from Bitcoin alone a lot, I try a little bit harder, a little bit more offensive on the orange pilling side, which is, I think, something a Bitcoiner should do just to like give back to one person, which is also interesting because orange pilling is a selfless act, which is not a lot of people think about that, because I can orange pill a lot of people. But I will not move the price. Like, no matter how much orange billing I do, I will not move the price. So I have no benefit in orange billing anyone else.
True. I mean, and it relates to what you were talking about at the beginning about, you know, politicians and the stealing and all this. That's another deep rabbit hole. But it's clear that the people in power don't have our interest. That's like so obvious to see. It's not, you don't have to do a lot of research to realize, like, you, all you have to do is go to a supermarket and read the back of the bags, any bag, like the first one you pick, grab a bag of any food and read the ingredients. Like, that's not real food. Like, that's chemicals that are, they don't care. They know it's bad. And that's just to name one example. But it's like, would you say orange peeling somebody? That's why I can't I cannot stop telling people about it. It's like, it might be selfless in the sense that I'm not going to get money for it. I'm not going to get prize, you know, I'm not going to get anything physical from it. But dude, it's such a revolution, like a silence, like a silence revolution. It's not like we're out there in protest or fighting governments or nothing like that. But orange peel after orange peel after orange peel, it just doubles. Like if I tell somebody about Bitcoin, now it's two people telling other two people. Now it's four and four. Now it's eight. Now it's 16. It's exponential. And just by orange peeling people, we're just spreading the word. Like we're just changing the world, literally, just by talking about this crazy invention. And I don't know. I think it's like, and you said it earlier, like Bitcoin is a lot of things. It's philosophical. It's spiritual. It's crazy to think about it, like, cause and I keep learning about Bitcoin a lot every day. I've been in Bitcoin for 3 years, like fully in Bitcoin. I started learning about it 4 years ago, like 1 year before that, and I knew about it since like 2015, no joke, 14. Like my friend was telling me this when Bitcoin was worth $1 and stuff like that. But, you know, you get Bitcoin at the price you deserve. But it like I was saying, like, it's such a deep thing within just money. Because money is a lot of things, and it's different things for different people. So, you know, for you, it might be one thing. For me, it might be a different thing. But just by spreading this word and just by doing what you're doing, I respect it a lot. I really like it a lot. That's why I told you I was trying to watch as many as I can. Like it's only right that I do it and I retweet it and I send it to people. They gotta hear it and they gotta start doing it. And they care. They think they don't care, but they do. Like it affects you. Money affects you. If you live in a society like we were talking about, like if you live in this in a society, money affects you. So like you care about Bitcoin, even when people tell you, no, I don't care about money like that. No, you care. Because if somebody controls the money, they control you because you live with the money. And this gives you for the first time in forever the chance to fight a government, the chance to stand up for yourself. And you don't want to hear about it. You do. You just don't know it yet. But. That's how I approach it. And that's how, you know, I don't care. My friends know it. If the conversation comes and I got to talk about Bitcoin, I'm talking about Bitcoin.
I told you a lot about 21 Bitcoin, the best place for me to buy Bitcoin directly on a Bitcoin-only exchange. But now let's talk about how to secure your Bitcoin. Once you got Bitcoin, you don't want to leave them on exchange. You want to take self-custody. You want to take responsibility of your own Bitcoin. That's why I recommend getting a BitBox. BitBox is an amazing wallet where you can not only keep your Bitcoin in a simple way, very secure, you can even create a passphrase. With that passphrase, you can basically create a hidden wallet on the device itself. Make sure to buy your BitBox in the link down in the description. And with code Robin, you even get a 5% discount.
That's beautiful, man. I love it. It's like kind of the peaceful revolution that brings freedom and prosperity to humanity. I just loved what you just said. Really, really cool. Probably it will be in the trailer.
I love trailers. I love them.
I try to keep it fresh and try to keep the trailer. Like, I think if you invest 1 hour of your life in my podcast, the minimum I can do is put a few seconds of what you can expect in the podcast in there. I cannot get the whole thing laid out to you because I try to do a good job with the title and the thumbnail to give you an idea what the topic will be. But as you see also now, like we touched on so many different things, like it's hard for me to pick one because then I cannot list five topics on the thumbnail. Right. Nobody will click on it. So that's my goal. Like, pick one thing that was in there and then just a few snippets that the guest actually said and maybe then give you the confirmation, okay, this is the interview that I want to listen to, or this is not the interview I want to listen to. Like, this is like the first 30 seconds you can decide, okay, this should be interesting, I will listen to it, or I will not listen to it because I did not find anything interesting in there. So that's really cool for me. And I also saw that you were in the halving day video from what was it, Parachutes Bitcoin. I also gave him some footage. It was really fun to watch the video, and loved the halving. What did you thought? Like, we are now like 2 days after the halving, around a dent. If it comes out, it will be like a week or two after the halving. But do you think is the halving something special for you, or is it just like another day?
Well, this one was, because I felt like it was, at least personally, like I said, like I can only talk about experience, but my experience was like, it was a special day because it was my first actual having Bitcoin. So in the halving before, I didn't have Bitcoin yet. I bought Bitcoin after that halving. So it was fun to be in the Twitter community. I like Twitter a lot. It serves me, you know. I figured I'm going to use social media. And like you said, the algorithm is actually a good thing if you use it to your advantage. So I like Twitter because I can watch news like you would watch the news back in the, but I watch my news in Twitter. I read about what interests me from the people that I want to listen to. And it was a lot of fun. And the video too, because I actually did, he gave me the idea to take a half court shot for the video. And I posted it, and it was especially because I got quite some feedback and some really good connections too out of it. So it was fun for me and special for me. Now, within the Bitcoin life, I think it's not that special because it's proven already that it works and it's not going to stop working. It's worked in the halvings before. It's worked all the time. It never misses a. It's just the perfect technological solution for money. Like, So is it a special halving? We're going to have a lot more halvings. So I guess you think a birthday is special? Do you think the fact that you're born in X day is something to celebrate? I mean, I guess, but I don't know. I don't think it's within the Bitcoin life. I don't think it's that special. I think the special halving will be the one that limits the supply by less than one. I think that would be the special one. I think this, not the next one, the one after. I think that one's going to be special. I feel like I just have that feeling.
Yeah, the thing that I found special about this halving is that Bitcoin is now the rarest thing ever, because the inflation rate is now under that of gold officially now, which is amazing. I mean, it was always, we always knew it. Like, it's not a surprise. That's why people did not celebrate it a lot, because like it was programmed to do it. I feel like the first halving was probably the most special one. I was not around. I'm like you. I bought my first Bitcoin right after the halving, like a few months after the halving. So basically for the first halving, I think this is like a really special one, and maybe the second one also, because this was the first one. Like, how will it work? Will it actually work? Like,
right.
Code written from someone that we don't even know who it is.
Right.
Will this thing actually work? Well, now it's the fourth time that it worked, and it worked perfectly. So with every halving, the halving gets a little less special, but there will be, as you said, along the way, halvings that are really, really special. But the thing that's special for me is also, it's a start of a new epoch. It has the chance that Bitcoin is kind of like all those 4 year cycles, or these 210,000 block cycles, if we are calculating in the time chain, is kind of like New Year's Eve. Like, if I felt like the New Year's Eve kind of a feeling when I was in the Twitter community, and in New Year's Eve we tend to think of the next year. What are we gonna do in the next year? And it's kind of cool to have at four times as long in the epoch of Bitcoin.
Right.
So we have like more time in this New Year's.
More time for planning. Nation.
Yeah. and this is where this question for you comes in now. Do you have some wishes for the next 4 years for Bitcoin? Is there something you would like to see in Bitcoin or in your life with Bitcoin?
First of all, I just wanted to touch real quick on one thing you said, and it's that I'm paraphrasing Jack Myers. He said this on the speech. He said that Bitcoin has its own time because it could not trust any other's time. And it's so mind-blowing that the whole time concept in Bitcoin, I didn't know about it that much. Like I said, I'm still learning every day about Bitcoin. So, but the concept of time is actually crazy. Like, I don't think nothing within Bitcoin is coincidence. So whoever or all the people that did it was, they knew what they were doing. But do I have any wishes for this upcoming 4 years? Well, I want to for sure get closer and closer within the Bitcoin community. I want to keep building relationships there. I'm meeting a lot of new people, connecting with people all over the world. I'm definitely going to start traveling more to the events. My schedule is difficult. I can't plan ahead too much because I don't know really if I'm going to sign with one team or the other one, or if I'm going to take some time off because whatever and maybe come back. So like, it's difficult, but I'm going to try my best. I already promised one of the guys that contacted me out of the video is the Swan CEO, and I already promised him that Corey that I was going to go to Pacific Bitcoin, so I have to go there. And but that's my kind of like kind of wishes for these 4 years, is just to get more in touch with all these people, you know, that are so smart, really, like have so much to say. I was looking to a lot of your podcasts and people, all types of people that knew a lot about Bitcoin. I was learning from everybody. I really enjoyed that podcast with, there was a politician from, I don't know if it was Austria or Swiss.
But Switzerland, yeah.
Yeah, Switzerland. And I was like, man, like I'm learning so much about Swiss politics right now. This is nuts. And I just want to, you know, like I said, build connections and experiences around these people that have a selfless, you know, intention to change the world and to help others. I really respect that. And yeah, that's it.
I feel like also more and more athletes are doing that. It's fascinating for me that more and more athletes, I think the most recent one was Renato Moicano.
Yeah.
Fascinating for me what he is saying with Austrian economics and really deep, and he's really getting the word out there, which is like, he's not just like putting like one Bitcoin tweet out there like with like as some other people did. He actually is talking about it. He's going to interviews talking about it. Why do you think is that? Like, why the athletes going out there and speaking about Bitcoin?
They should be, like, I feel like more should be. Like, if they understood what I said earlier about how hard it is. Because, I mean, I understand. You think about the top athletes, right? The top Cristiano Ronaldo, LeBron James. They don't really need Bitcoin like that, to be honest, because they are so incredibly rich already. Like, they could buy Bitcoin, but like, they could also buy 10 houses or 50, or I don't know. I mean, I would buy Bitcoin, but like, what I'm saying is that there are other athletes that their sports do not pay that good, but it takes so much work to be good at their sport. So like any other Olympic sports, you know, you play professional. It's like, I play professional, but I play at the highest level. So anything other than, okay, NBA players, they should get Bitcoin, but especially people that don't make the NBA and have to go play in Europe, and you make a lot of money, but not that much money. If you want to win what they are winning, like if you want your money to get that value, like if you want to invest that money that you've worked, it's the same thing. It's what I tell people. It's like, well, you people that make money invest, right? That's what first thing I learned. People that make money invest. So you're going to invest anyway. So why don't you do the research and research this? It is the best investment. So like, if you research it anyways, I feel like athletes, just based on, like I said earlier, the discipline that it takes to earn that money and the hard work and the physical, just imagine you're a rugby player. it takes a toll on the body. Like you're getting hit and hit and hit, and you're getting paid, yes, but like, I don't know, like basketball is a physical sport too. Like you get paid and it looks good on TV and all that, but like when you're in the court, like the guy is putting his elbow on your chest and he's 110 kilos, okay? He's 6'10", he's 210. So like what I'm saying is that if you play sports like a fighter and you make money, but you put so much on the line, you put your body on the line. It's not like if I don't turn in this assignment, I get fired. It's if I don't do this right, I get beat up. I get humiliated. The competition just is strong. Like they don't care if something is hurting you. Like they're still going to go at you. Like I play a game whenever and the guy that's guarding me, he's going at me like he's trying to destroy me. And imagine a fighter, like the guy that's in front of you, he's trying to put you to sleep. So why the money that you get from that is so more, it's so valuable because you put your body on the line for it. So why wouldn't you do something smart with this money instead of buying a freaking chain or a car? So once sports players, you know, and at the end of the day, it's the education system. Like you can't expect, you know, at the end of the day, he's a sports, whatever, he's an athlete. He's not an economic professor. So it's on him to do the research. It was on me to learn about this stuff because I didn't know anything about this. How could you join the group if you don't know it exists, right? So I feel like, and I know it's going to change, but I feel like our education got to change. Like this is one of our biggest problems, and I don't know how it is in all the countries all over the world, but what I've experienced in Spain and in the US is like they're not really educating you for life. They are teaching you so you could pass some exams, but like you're not learning about how do I save my money, how do I pay taxes, how do I, you know, file taxes, how do I buy a house, how do I cook, how do I go buy groceries. I don't know what to buy. First, when I was leaving, that's why I was eating so bad. It's like, I go to the grocery store and I'm like, I don't know what to get. I'm just get whatever is already made so I don't have to cook. And that's bad, but I don't know anything else. I don't know how to cook anything. So I have to learn. And that's the self-improvement journey. You got to get better at a lot of things, at least, you know, so you understand what world you live in. And once you understand how money works, it's just no other solution. It's just nothing you could, you know, well, I'm going to buy some gold. Like, Michael Saylor already said everything that I'm about to say, but what am I going to buy? Gold? What am I going to buy? Silver? Like, the fiat system is broken. There's nothing else to buy. And on top of it, this is the best thing ever created. Like, it's so sophisticated. It's so good. It's not even like, it's the only solution. It's like, it's the best solution possible. Because like we said earlier, and it comes back, everything is energy. That's science. Like everything is energy. E equals MC squared. So if you don't have a money that's energy too, just like everything else is, if you just have, you know, a waste of energy, really, because they just can print, and you're wasting energy instead of saving it. And money is really the way to save value, and you're just having something that loses value, it makes no sense. So once you do a little research, that's what I recommend. It's like I always tell people, don't believe anything I say, do your own research. So like you just have to start putting in the work. The time is going to go by anyways. So if you spend 20 minutes a day doing something, in a year you're within the 1% that's the best out of it. So you just have to be consistent with it. That's the discipline that I think we're lacking, and we talked about it before the interview. But nowadays the attention span is really short, and it's because we have a lot of distractions. It's easy to distract yourself and grab your phone and start swiping up and just watch videos and videos and videos and put yourself a YouTube video and then go on Instagram and then do this. And you don't have to be in life. You don't have to be present in life. You can just get by, and you spend 3 hours doing nothing and you didn't even realize. That's why the attention spans are so bad right now. And the people that play sports have that it translates, because you have to focus. If I'm playing basketball and I'm thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow, I'm missing the shot 100%. So I have to be just focused on the shot. So that's why, personally, luckily, I had a little bit more of attention span. That's how I felt throughout my life. Like, I can focus. I can get this done. I can just sit and do it. I don't want to do it. I hate to do it, but I do it because that's discipline. It's doing what you hate, like you love to do it. And that's where people got to get better at. They, like, instead of, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours doing nothing during the day, just have 1 hour doing nothing or two. And then those other 2 hours, it's easy to do something productive. Like, I can just put my headphones on and listen to your podcast and stretch on the floor. And I'm already doing something good for me. I'm learning and I'm treating my body. Or I'm cooking and I have the speaker on and I have my podcast on. And I'm already learning and I'm eating healthy. So, like, it's easy to make little changes. You just have to make little changes throughout your day to build up your discipline. And then that's when you can miss some days and be like, okay, today I'm going to be lazy because I just worked out for 20 days straight. And you can be lazy and you can eat okay. And I can go out and eat something bad because my habits are good usually. It's like, that's what, you know, that's what we got to work on as a society, you know, coming from the education. We got to work on building a little more discipline. There will be a lot less, you know, mental problems if we just worked on it. If instead of avoiding that mental problem or that trauma that's causing it, if you just sit with it, you got to sit with things. You got to, you know, think about things. You have to, you know, like I say, do those. And it comes to the meditation and the breathing, but I feel like it's essential. Like, they should teach this at school. Like, meditating, it changed my life so drastically. Like, just to give you numbers, that the season that I was shooting a bad percentage and I started meditating, I was shooting really bad because my whole body was hurting. I hadn't got injured yet, but my whole body was already starting to hurt. That's when I get injured, when my knee is hurting, my leg is hurting. So I was already hurting and I was shooting terrible. My worst shooting year of my life, because I had a lot of, like I said, I had anxiety. I was nervous before the game. It never happened to me before. I started to not like basketball that much. I was thinking too much about the future. Like, oh, I should be playing in this league. I should be playing over this guy. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And I was shooting around like less than 20% three-pointers, which is bad. Like, a good player, like the best shooter in the NBA, is probably shooting 40% from three. That's the best. That's super good. 40% is amazing. 50, insane. But it's usually between 30 and 40. Like, it should be there. Like, if you're close to 30s, if you're close to 40s, really good. But if you're within the 30, 40, you're good. I was shooting below 20. Terrible. The year after that, I shot like 37. Out of starting to meditate that summer. Like, I was just so confident in every shot. I was not even thinking about the shot. It's like, I don't even care if I make it. I'm enjoying shooting it, taking the shot. It's, you take away thinking about the future and the past, and you just worry about here. And you train that through meditation and breathing work. Like, I don't know any other way to train that, you know? And it's called the flow state. It's called flow state when you're completely locked in. And that's when, you know, you see the great performances, you know. I don't want to get on basketball like this, but Kobe going for 80, players like this going crazy. That's flow mode. And the reason this is so effective is because you're so focused on the present. You're so in the present moment that your mind cannot travel. And so it's attention, like the attention of the mind when it's in the present, it's 100%. And that's when you do things that not even you thought you could do. You make shots that after the game, I'll look at the film like, how did I make this? I've never made this shot in my life. How did I come up with it in a game? It's like, that's not really you. It's the present moment. That's the yogis. That's the yogis that we see that you can put on YouTube and they do crazy stuff like being in the Himalayas at minus 70 degrees and they're wearing no clothes and they just sitting meditating. That's why they are superhumans, because they're so in the present that the mind don't control them. Like, they control the mind. they are one with the mind. It's I mean, you got to stop me because I could really go on and on about the self-improvement journey. But anything you want to interrupt me with or say, please.
I loved it so much. I don't even want to interrupt you. I don't even know what I actually asked to begin with. I think it was about athletes and
how to get into Bitcoin. I went to a different route. That's my fault.
And that's totally fine. I don't know if you saw the episode with who was it? Someone was going on a 55-minute rant. The one guy that
you talked about it in one of them, and I actually saved it to watch it, and I didn't watch it. I gotta watch it. I forgot. Yeah.
He wrote Bitcoin 21 million times.
He wrote?
No. He wants to write Bitcoin 21 million times, and he already wrote it like 300,000 times, like actually writing Bitcoin down, like on a piece of paper with pen, and he wants to write it down 21 million times. He did the calculations, and he's like, it could work. But he's not sure if it works.
That's funny. That's a lot of work. 21 million times. How many pieces of paper?
That's probably a lot of pieces of paper. He showed some pictures also with the thing the when you come in there and you have to put in the, I don't know how it's called in English. That's I'm not a native English speaker, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's like when you write the pen, you fill in the blue things.
Oh, the ink?
The ink, yes.
Yeah,
the plastic things off the ink.
Yeah.
And you showed me some baskets of the inks. It's like fascinating how many you had. That was an interesting thing because it was not about Bitcoin, really. I mean, we also talked about Bitcoin, but you also talked a lot about discipline and holding through. And doing crazy things that everybody's thinking that's like there was this one weird guy on the internet who counted to 10,000. I don't know if you know him, but his name is Mr. Beast.
Rose.
And he did crazy challenges, and that got him famous, and that's how he basically grew to be the number one YouTuber right now. That's you have to be disciplined about stuff.
I also believe that like. Do not be afraid of doing something that nobody's doing. Like you just, it's, and you know, I think it relates to Bitcoin too. Like Bitcoin is our like common thing. Like, but as humans, we all have different ambitions, different ways of being, different personalities. And some people are really attracted to doing something great, like changing the human society or, but some other people just enjoy their life, you know, perfecting their crafts, like maybe an artist. Artists, the best artists, they don't necessarily paint because they want to sell the most expensive painting, or they just like art. They just want to express themselves within their art and get better than themselves, like be better than their last painting, do a better painting than my last painting. And I agree with him. Like, I agree that you should aim high. Like, I aim high. I play basketball professionally. I'm not done. I keep playing. I want to make it to the NBA. I want to make it to the EuroLeague. I want to make it to the best leagues, and I'm going to work for it. Now, whatever happens, that's not up to me. That's up to the journey. That's up to the circumstances. All I can think about, all I can really worry about is putting in the work, is stacking the sats, is stacking sats. I see it the same way. It's just a little bit every day. Is do the right things every day. It doesn't take a lot. Like, for example, I do 100 push-ups every day. I didn't start doing 100 push-ups. But if you've never done push-ups in your life and you just do 20 or 10 a day or 5 and you go a whole year of that, I promise you, you will see the difference. Like, you will have a pick just by doing that. Don't take more than 10 minutes. Like, it doesn't take me, okay, 100 takes me more than 10 minutes sometimes. Depends if I really want to rush it and just get it done, or I want to take my time and do more than 100 or whatever. But it doesn't take me a lot of time. It takes me 20 minutes a day. That's not a lot. But what makes the difference, 20 sets a day, 100 sats a day or 100K sats a day, it's not a lot. But if you do it all the time for 5 years, for 10 years, you're, like you said, you're on the top 1%. You're the top of the top of the class. Anything you do, you want to learn a new language. You learn a language 10 minutes each day. There's no way in 2 years you've learned the language. Like, it's the power of compounding and it's the same thing as stacking sets. I don't buy a lot of, like, now I feel like I have a good amount. Of course, obviously I want to have more. Everybody wants to have more Bitcoin, but I necessarily never had a lot of money. Like people that, like you said, people think you got to be rich to start on Bitcoin. Like, you really don't. Like, if this is the solution for this type of people that don't have a lot of money, and I don't know if I'm gonna say it correctly in English, but it's the biggest shift in economic wealth in human history. Like, the middle lower class could shift the upper class if we position ourselves, and some of us are, in this new invention quick. That was kind of like the goal, like make something that's for everyone and that everyone can enjoy, and not only the elite, because, you know, fiat has a lot of perks too when you start it. Like, if you have fiat, like, you can go to the bank and get a loan, and you have your collateral because you already have money, and they give you a loan which you don't pay interest for. You're already doubling the money in the economy, so they already double stealing it with the taxes, with all that. But if you have money, you can take advantage of it. Now, if you don't have $100,000 in the bank, they're not going to give you that credit. They're not going to give you that loan. So fiat is not for the middle lower class. It's only for the upper class. And the only way to shift this, to change this, is with Bitcoin, just like with many other things. It's just the solution to a lot of problems. I hate to mention it. So sometimes when I'm around my girlfriend, I try to, you know, to not mention Bitcoin all the time, but it's just the solution to so many problems. Like, I tell people, I'm like, okay, you tell me because I don't watch politics. Like, I like politics, the concept and the ideas, but the whole circus, at least in my country and in the US, the whole circus behind it, like, you don't know who's in charge. You don't know. It's all a circus to keep the media and keep the people entertained. At least that's how I view it. So I don't really watch politics, but I tell them, I'm like, okay, so you think politics are corrupt and they are spending your money in something they shouldn't. Well, if Bitcoin was the money, they could not do that because it would be on the ledger. If they tell you they got to put 2 Bitcoins on education or on, how do you say, the hospitals and the sanidad.
And the infrastructure and medicine and medical stuff.
Yeah. If they tell you they are going to spend 3 Bitcoins, you can see that the transfer on the ledger, so they cannot lie to you. So it ends corruption. It's so many more things. So, like, Bitcoin is just the answer to a lot of questions, really.
Definitely. And I have one more question for you before we get into Androdin, and it kind of touches on everything that we touched on the last 20 minutes. Is like Bitcoin what we need for that? Like, my original question that I had for you was like, what impact do you think Bitcoin will have in the world? But now we touched on so many things that you do on an individual level, with discipline, with the proof of work, with the hard things. Can this Bitcoin bring to society this change, or is it something that everybody has to do on their own? Or is like Bitcoin as a sound money, can it actually bring that kind of a change in society that people get proof of work and actually do the hard things and the low time preference things?
I definitely think it does. I definitely think it does, because the people in power right now, they are cheaters, basically. They are stealing our money. They don't have to do the work to be in control. Like, when there's this shift and the money is actually hard and valuable, and you can't just waste it on stupid stuff, like, everything is going to be analyzed more. Like, the people that are going to be in charge, they're going to, let me see how I can say this. It's like when the people that are in charge of how a society can be run and they are messing up, like there's not much you can do. Like you can as an individual to succeed, but not as a society. Like it's really hard to come together if we have a bad leader. It's really hard for a basketball team to win if they have a bad coach. Even if they have the best players, if they have a really bad coach, I don't care what players you have. Like the coach is important on managing the players. Same thing with the people on top. If they're not doing a good job, like even if we have good pieces, we can't prosper as a society. And maybe they don't want that. Maybe they only want some societies to prosper and they want to keep people controlled. And the only way to control people is to take away their power. And that's how this changes. Bitcoin gives everybody back their power. Like now money is real. Now what I brought back from my value to society is real. Now I can see what I'm doing. And you cannot just steal it away, taxating it and inflating it. So I do think it changes that within the world too. Like a new way. And it's funny because I'm not going to say I'm super into astrology, but I have studied it a little bit lately with my girlfriend, and she's getting into it, and I'm reading about it. And we just entered a new era, like not a couple of years ago. I forgot the exact date, but we're in the era of communication and technology and change. And I feel like this is what's going to lead that change, Bitcoin. It's going to change everything in this world within the next lot of years, hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands. But we're at the beginning of it. It's crazy that we're living history in first row. Like we're watching this happening as it was created, it's being adopted. Now the institutions are coming in. Now more countries are coming in. Now everybody talks about it. Now, like we're living those steps, and then you know, it would be crazy at one point when everybody realizes what we already see, when the big people from some countries realize this and more countries start to come and you use Bitcoin as a regular day-to-day in between countries and to pay things. And, you know, it's all going to grow a lot. And I think that's going to be one of the major keys to society's change for the better, because communication is changing everything. Now we know that there's trash in the food that we eat, because I have followed 5 guys on Instagram that every time I click on Instagram, I see him. Okay, we're going to analyze this and this. This is glucose, sugar is this, antioxidant, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, we can learn these things now because of the social media and the communication era that we're living in. Before that, you had to go to the library and try to find it and see if you could know about it. But the world is already changing, and Bitcoin is just only going to make that change that much faster and better.
Amazing. And I can see that you deeply research stuff, like the amount of information that is in your head and how well you can articulate it is really, really cool to see. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for being on the show. But before we end it, we actually have the end routine. You know about it because you watch the show, like the previous guest is asking a question for the next guest without knowing who the next guest is. And your question is, what is the best way to bring Bitcoin forward besides education?
What's the best way to bring Bitcoin forward?
Yes, besides education. Yeah, like education is an obvious one. So that he excluded that one.
Maybe I was thinking about this too. Because I want to keep, you know, make a relationship in the Bitcoin community, and maybe, you know, things can flourish from that. I don't know. I have time to do projects and work on stuff. So I think stuff is going to come. But I was thinking about, I think we could speed the way, like if we went to businesses, like if we went to like, when you go to a restaurant or when you go to a store or when you go to like any place that you can buy stuff from, if you like the place, like if you actually go to a restaurant every Friday and you really like that restaurant, we could like just like tell the owner or the guy that's running the place, why don't you accept payment with Bitcoin? like just that question. That's not educating. It's more like telling businesses to accept Bitcoin. Be like, you know, if you accept the Bitcoin, I would pay with Bitcoin sometimes. Maybe they start accepting it more and more and more. And that's another way of, you know, bringing Bitcoin into society is just see it more. Not even just learn about it. It's just, if you see it everywhere, you see Visa, you see PayPal, you know what PayPal is because you see it everywhere. It's not necessarily because you research PayPal. But if you see Bitcoin all the time and then more people start to know about it and then, you know, I don't know, I thought of that. It's a difficult question. I hope that one counts. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I like it. Red Bull, an Austrian company, had this strategy in the early days. The boss, Didi Mateschitz, paid random people in front of bars and restaurants and stuff like that to ask the waiter for Red Bull. Like he just asked, like, "Hey, do you have Red Bull to drink?" And the waiter's like, "Oh, unfortunately, we don't have Red Bull." And like, if you are a restaurant owner and there's like the 20th guy coming in today right. that asks for Red Bull and you don't have it, and then like 1 week later, someone comes along and says, "Hey, do you want to have Red Bull in your restaurant?" And then you're way more likely to accept it. And the same thing gets in a similar direction as you said. When we just ask if we can pay with Bitcoin right. in the restaurant, in the bar, in whatever, like even right. like in the electronic shops, we can do it. And yeah. like what? And just ask like, "Hey, can I pay with Bitcoin?" And if they say no, you're gonna like, okay, fine. Then do you also take cash or credit card? That's like, we don't have to be aggressive with it. We're just like, do you actually, can I pay with Bitcoin here?
I actually say that all the time. And when people, I don't know, I borrow money for people, I always say like, "Do you want me to pay you back in Bitcoin?" And they always say no. And I'm like, "Are you sure? Like, are you sure? Like, you might see that money in some months and it's going to be more probably." They're like, "Nah, it could also be less." I'm like, "All right, here, your cash. I wasn't listening to you anyway."
That's really cool. Look, I enjoyed it so much with you. It was a real pleasure talking with you. It's one of those episodes where I like just came in and did not expect anything because I did not knew you a lot because I never saw videos of you and stuff like that. And it was from the first moment, like as we would know each other from like the get-go. Thank you for being on. Thank you for being part of the show. Where can people, when they ask, have questions for you, when they want to ask you something, where can people reach you?
Yeah, they can reach me any of my social media. I have the same name of all of it. So my Twitter has the same name as my Instagram. And then I have another Instagram that I just started to talk more about Bitcoin in there too. So either way, I think you can, well, they're going to have my tag on the video. So I'll reply to everybody. So yeah, social media probably.
Definitely. Like if you're on Twitter, then there's the tag anyways. If you're on YouTube or some podcast platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your Twitter profile will be in the description and they can just click on it and then they have Twitter. I usually link always Twitter in some rare cases like LinkedIn or Instagram. But
I don't really use, I have it, LinkedIn and all that, but I don't really use it that much. I'm more of like, I use Twitter, I use Instagram for basketball, and then now I have this new Instagram. So probably Twitter better.
Definitely. But, and are you coming to Bitcoin Prague? You teased that you wanted to go to conferences.
When is that?
13, 14, and 15th of June.
I actually might be in Madrid. So if I am, I'm going.
Really cool. Perfect. Then maybe I'll see you there.
All right.
Would be fun.
I would love that, man. I really enjoy this. And thank you so much for having me here. I had a lot of fun. So yeah, I'm hoping we can remake this maybe some months from here.
Of course. I want every day a show. So I need people to speak. And I love to speak with you. Perfect. Then bye-bye, Luke.
Thank you so much, man. See ya.
Perfect.